Welcome back. Pay no attention to the men who moved about the stage to make all this happen, right? As you all know, I'm horrible at telling time. It don't matter what kind of clock they give me. So I put a stopwatch on myself every time I preach. And it's the only way that you guys have any hope of not hearing me preach for an hour. Let me pause just for a minute before I start my stopwatch. This ain't my preaching time. This is just me talking to you time. We're about to go through a really interesting season in this church. We're going through transition. Okay. Now, barring the Lord waking me up in the middle of the night and telling me something different, we're going to stick around. Me and my family. Okay. I hope you do too. I'm no fool. I know the transition is uncomfortable. There's going to be change, but it's going to be okay. You see, Ryan, I don't want to embarrass you for nothing, but I want you to stand up for a minute. I know. Ryan doesn't like to be the center of attention. He didn't start looking like that without some pain. Okay? I would have him stand in the chair so y'all can see his legs, because that rascal does leg day too, but don't do it, Ryan. You can sit down. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that. Okay. We're going to be looking like that in this next season. But it's going to take some torn muscles, some stretching. It's going to take some eating right. It's going to take a lot of things that maybe some of us haven't done in a while. Okay. So I just want to take this little opportunity I got right now to tell you. When it gets uncomfortable in the next 6 to 18 months, remember, we're going to be looking like that. And it's going to be some mornings you're going to feel the need to put some ibuprofen in that body, and maybe that's what you need to do. But I'm asking you, as my church family, we're sticking around. I want you to as well, okay? Now I'll start my stopwatch. This is my time. I've entitled this sermon, As One. Our text today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. I got the opportunity to preach in my cousin's church right before he left it to go take a new pastorate. And I stood in front of his people and I had a lot of the same emotions that I have standing in front of you today. Next week, in case you don't know, Pastor Steve gets here. It'll be his first Sunday with us. And I'm excited about it. I asked the Lord years ago, when I preached this, I said, I'd love the opportunity to get to teach it to our people. And I have patiently waited for over 5 years, and he turned me loose this week. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Our text today comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. Now, some of you may or may not have gotten this, but it was the church located in Corinth. That's why we call them the Corinthian church. Kennedy thought it was really funny last night, sorry. I tried, babe. Corinth was a cultural crossroads. Okay, so Corinth was a city that was located at the intersection of trade routes in the Roman Empire. And so, as you could imagine, it's a place kind of like New York City. It's a place kind of like Miami. It's a place kind of like LA. It's a place where you have all these diverse cultures coming into one place because we have economies of trade. So it's where you bring the barges in from China and get all of our iPhones off the boat, right? Okay, so you have all of these places where these ideas are coming, and the sailors from here stay and, you know, exchange ideas with the people who live here. And so now you have all these ideas in one place, right? So the church in Corinth was located in a place where you have a lot of diverse ideologies, a lot of different lifestyles. And when this letter is written, the church is probably no older than 5 years. So it's a young church, right? So it's like Paul plants the church, goes on about his missionary journey, and then writes letters back to it to kind of keep them on track. So when he's writing this letter back, like, y'all know how crazy church planting is. I know most of y'all ain't ever been in a church plant, but let me tell you something. By the time 5 years has gone by in a church plant, most of the time you still don't know up from down. Most of the time you still ain't got no kind of idea about what, I mean, it could, yeah. So let's not think of the church at Corinth as this super healthy estate, right? Okay. But this is who our letter is written to. So when by the time he's writing this letter, all kinds of things have begun to happen inside the church. There was divisions, there were factions. They were doing crazy stuff like they would get together to observe communion because they were told to observe communion. But when they came together to observe communion, they'd throw these big wild feasts and then have communion at the end of the feast. And one of the problems with that was you had to bring your own food, right? And so you had brothers and sisters who were poor, who had nothing to eat. And then you had brothers and sisters who were wealthy, and they were gluttonous and had food that they were throwing away. And there was no sharing. There was no community. It was by the time you get to communion, you got this guy who's been watching his brother in Christ get fat and happy while he was starving. This is the attitude that's inside of the Corinthian church. There are a lot of other issues. In fact, when you read the book of Corinthians, it is a rebuke of sorts from Paul to the church. This is a letter of correction. So when we read this book, we need to hear the tone of correction in Paul's voice as he writes. Chapters 11 through 14 are calling out specifically the imbalance of community that existed in the Corinthian church. They had an issue with understanding the distribution of spiritual gifts, and Paul addresses it here in chapter 12. So this morning, we're going to dive into this chapter to understand the concept of diversity of gifts and the designed unity of their application inside the church. Paul uses the human body as a symbol to convey this principle. He's trying to help them understand how the church ought to function with all of these diverse gifts. To understand the diversity of the gifts and the way they are interrelated inside of this organism, we need to first understand the function of the body. What should the church be doing? So what is the function of the body? Remember that through this whole sermon, through this whole lesson, we're using the illustration of the human body as a visualization of the church. Okay, so we're going to be bouncing back and forth between the body. And I'm going to try and be disciplined. And when I say the body, I'm going to try to be talking about the human body. And when I want to talk about the church, I'm going to try to say the church. But we have muddied up those words so much, I may go back and forth. So if you get a little confused, just keep listening. I'll get you to the right place. All right. So we're going to be thinking about the human body as it represents the church. The purpose of the human body, right? The function of the human body is to bring about the manifestation of the life that resides inside of it. Okay. Let me tell you something about that one sentence. I'm going to read it to you again. You might want to write that down when I read it again, so get your pen and paper. When you're writing sermons, I know a lot of you got experience writing sermons. But when you're writing sermons from time to time, God will give you a thought that bypasses your brain so fast you don't understand what he said until you've read it, written, or typed on a screen. This is one of those sentences. That's how I know it's important. So let me read that to you again a little bit slower. The function of the human body is to bring about the manifestation of the life that resides within it. So the purpose of the human body is to live. Every one of us in here is a soul that's merely wrapped in a body made of flesh. Think about it this way. Your body is the movement of the trees when the wind blows. When the wind blows, I can't see the wind. However, I can see the limbs and the leaves move. I can see them sway. And when I see that, I know that the wind is blowing. In the same way, I can't see Matt. Sitting right here on the front. I can't see Matt. See, the essence of Matt is something that I can't see. These human eyes can't see who Matt is. But instead, what I can see is how Matt directs that flesh that he's wrapped in. The purpose of that flesh is to give evidence of the reality that exists within it. So now let's revisit our text. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So if we are the body of Christ, and the function of the body is to bring about the manifestation of the life that resides within it, then we as the church are to be the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. I heard a preacher say just this week, someone sent me a video from a preacher preaching to preachers, and it was about something completely different. But in the first 15 minutes of that sermon, that video, there was something that just jumped out at me. He said, the only reason to have a body is to express the life that's in it. The only purpose, the only reason to have a body is to express the life that's wrapped up inside of it. What good is the church if it is not actively expressing the Holy Spirit that is in it? We are the body of Christ. That's what Scripture tells us. We are to express His Spirit that resides in us. That's it. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. That's our function. If you think the church is supposed to be doing anything other than that, then you're a bit off. If you think the church is supposed to be doing anything less than that, then you've missed the boat. See, the real reason I brought these Hulk hands was I got something to fight my way out of here with. Sorry. I get tickled sometimes. So what does it look like when the church becomes the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the world in which we live? As I search scriptures looking for a succinct definition of what is the function of the church? What is the purpose of the church? I mean, we got 66 books. We could pontificate about a bunch of them. But if I'm looking for the broadest, like most succinct, like what can most denominations agree on, right? What is the purpose of the church? I kept coming back to this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. This is Jesus talking. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When the church is fulfilling its perfect function, it will be salt and light to the world. It will work its way into society and bring out the flavors that the Creator placed in it. It will preserve and bring out the natural beauty of God's original creation. It will shine as a beacon of hope to the lost, illuminating the path to redemption, reconciliation, and the hope of eternity. That is our function. Now, how are we built to accomplish that? Let's consider our structure. The structure of the body. The body of Christ, the church, is comprised of diverse members. Now, the human body is a remarkable creation. As I was doing some research on this week, it looked like there was something like 78 different organs listed on a quick search. 78, okay. Now, when I say organs, like the eyeball is an organ. The leg is an organ. The tongue, yeah. Okay. So, anyways, all that stuff. All right. So, now let's think about within the eyeball. How many different parts are inside the eyeball? How many different parts are inside your ear? How many parts are in your heart? How many parts are in your lung, right? So there are tons and tons of parts inside. I might say there are thousands of different parts. They all have diverse and specific functions. They're all very distinct. But they are all also part of one organism. And so is the church. We as a church, we have preachers, we have teachers, we have prophets, we have healers, we have helpers, we have encouragers, we have singers, we have musicians, we have AV techs, we have painters, sketchers, sculptors, designers, we have outdoorsmen, we have athletes, we have campers, we have ham radio operators, Kel. We have businessmen, we have public servants, we have medical professionals, we have builders, tradesmen, architects. We got all kind of stuff in this little body here. Everything I read there, we have here in this church. While we all have different jobs within the body, it's important to remember that we are all interconnected. Paul's human body illustration bears out well as we consider the interconnectedness of the various members. The heart does something completely different than the legs. The kidneys do a very different job than the lungs. But they are all critical to carry out the function of the human body. They're all distinct in their duties. So while each of us has a different function inside the body, we are all interconnected and thereby dependent upon one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14 says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but many, not of one part, but of many." Just like the human body, diversity of gifting should abound in the church. It is necessary that the body be made up of diverse giftings. However, the intended design of the diversity of the gifts is that they will be exercised in unity with the whole body. Remember, we are a single organism. The body of Christ is united by the common bond of His Holy Spirit present in each believer. When we exist with such diverse talents and gifts and callings in the church, how can we possibly hope that we could have any form of unity? How do we avoid becoming one large organism that's doing many great things, but doing nothing united? 1 Corinthians 12:13 gives us the answer. "For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Just as the same blood that carries nutrients and life to my fingers and my toes is also the same blood that carries life to my stomach and my pancreas, the same Holy Spirit inspires each of us in the exercise of our gifts for the glory of God and the benefit of the whole assembly. God intentionally picked the various parts of the bodies and placed them in the church. His design was intentional, and you're a part of it. 1 Corinthians 18 through 20 reads, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Paul explains the diversity of the gifts God has placed in the church. If we all find ourselves trying to perform the same function, we would be like a body made of all legs. We'd be ineffective. However, God distributes the gifts of the Spirit for the optimal function of the church to carry out His will. And the coolest part about that fact, he picked you for our team. He picked you. He could have, you know how many churches there are in our city? And some of you rascals drive from a long way away. You know how many churches there are in your city? But God, through his Holy Spirit, directed you to be here and to be a part of this fellowship. He picked you. Now I'm coming to one last illustration. You're right, Sam, I couldn't do it in 15, but 18 and a half ain't too bad. So, Kelly, get the door. It's time to go. No, I'm kidding. I don't know why you've been wondering about your salt cans. You know, a little fancy music you got, now'd be a good time for it. A little close. I'm going to teach you a phrase. I want you to learn this. This ain't in the Bible, okay? So you can choose to learn if you want to. As a pastor, I got no right to tell you, but I'm telling you, this will change your life. So change how you think about church. The phrase I want you to learn is real simple. It's simply this. The band of the hand. I bet y'all never thought you'd be getting a closing statement from a guy wearing a Hulk hand, but... When you go out to fight, I know all y'all are peaceful people. You don't know nothing about no fighting. I understand that. But when you need to go inflict pain upon something, do you strike it like this? I'm gonna get you, Ryan. But I got a real good pointer finger. I mean, this, I could poke Matt in the chest and it hurt him. I got five of them. No. But can I tell you, I'm a little bit concerned that this is how this church fights. Better put the other hand on, huh? We got a lot of people who are doing really great things. And when you are doing really great things in your lane, sometimes you lose sight of the other people who might be trying to do great things in their lane. God didn't design the church to fight like little girls. Sorry, Kennedy. He designed a church to fight like the Hulk. You see, the band of the hand is an old adage we used when I played on the offensive line. Our objective was to fire off the ball as a single solitary unit, to strike defensive lines from anywhere in the state and blow them off the ball. That was our goal. And when we got a little sloppy, and when we might not all move, our coach would yell at us, the band of the hand. And all that meant was you take these five fingers, and you roll them all down into one fist. And now we all strike as one. Let me tell you something. We might do a lot of really good things fighting like this, but we're going to end up with some broke fingers. God didn't design the church to fight like this. God designed this body to fight like this. Y'all know the Hulk looked just like me and you when he walked around in everyday life. But somebody say something about his mama. And that green blood start flowing. And he looked like Ryan. Remember that as the church, the only reason to have a body is to express the life that's inside of it. And how are we going to express that life in this church? Let me tell you, we ain't going to get it all expressed like this. The only way this church is going to really express the Holy Spirit that's residing inside of us. The only way that this, let me tell you what that looks like. That looks like a grandson coming home and finding his call for the Lord and actually getting about living the way he ought to be living. Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like a young lady growing up in a church and going, I feel like God wants to do more than this, and becoming a missionary to a group of people that no church has ever been interested in before. Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like being planted in the middle of a community that's slap dab full of hurting and busted and broken people, and figuring out how 10 years from now people go, why'd they plant that church in such a good community? They should have went to the lost. Because the transformational power of Jesus Christ doesn't just fix the soul. It fixes the home. It fixes the socioeconomic status. It fixes the way they vote. It fixes everything about who you are. You see, we've been ineffective in this church because, not because we ain't good, not because we ain't trying, not because we've just been fighting like this. This time we get a little bit of green in us and let us get united across the various parts of this body and let us begin striking as one. Where we no longer make statements like, we have a really awesome missions department. No, we have a really awesome church. That's what we have. It ain't about missions. I mean, we missional minded, but you know, that's just part of it. I mean, the heart's important, but it ain't the only thing. We are a really awesome church because in everything we do, we strike as one. So as I close this out today, my challenge to you is real simple. Ain't gonna be no altar call. Ain't gonna be no time that we come forward. I want you to seek out in your life the operation of the Holy Spirit. Because before you can walk in the fullness of verse 27 that says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of, before you can walk in the fullness of understanding that, you must first understand that we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. I'll tell you something, you have a job to do here. There's no bench on this team. You understand that, right? There's not a starting lineup, a set of backups, and a JV team. If you're on this team, you play. You got playing time when you're on this team. Okay? And God purposed for you to be on the team. He put you on this team. You have a job to do, and we're never going to be as effective as we could be if you don't get about doing your job. But you'll never be able to do that in a healthy capacity unless you walk in lockstep with the Holy Spirit. So as we close today, that's going to be my prayer for you. And that's going to be your homework to do over this next week. You seek the Lord with the specific intent that you're going to find the job you're supposed to do on this team, and that you're going to find the working of the Holy Spirit to empower you to do that job in your life. Ms. Wilma, I understand that you turned a decent number this week. Ms. Wilma, you got a job to do on our team. You see, this ain't a message for Sarah. I mean, it is. You're not off the hook. But I want to make sure, Miss Wilma, you know you're an important part of this team. God didn't tell me what your job is, so I don't know. But ma'am, you've been working in this church a long time, and you're still with us. You got a job to do. You're important. You got a job to do. Kennedy, you got work to do, girl. See, this message, it ain't for just y'all. Y'all got work to do. It's for the youngins. It's for the not quite as youngins. It ain't just for the pastors, the leaders. It's for the followers. See, there's no role that's unimportant. About a year and a half ago, I stood in front of you guys. You probably don't remember, but I limped all over this stage. I limped because I dropped a piece of pipe on my toe the day before. And I want you to know, for a year, that stupid bruised toenail crippled everything I did. Every day started with maintenance to some, I'll make sure this toenail don't get ripped off today. For a year, my big toenail. Let me tell you something. If you think that there's an insignificant part of the human body, let me drop a piece of pipe on your toe. There ain't no insignificant part of this body either. You all are important to the work that God has called us to do. We need you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word you've given us today. Lord, I thank you for your touch to deliver it. Now, Lord, I ask that you do what I can't do. Lord, I ask that over the coming week that you will pour by your Holy Spirit into this body, your church. Lord, that you will pour into each of us the power of the Holy Spirit that we read about in the New Testament. Lord, not just a cute, comfortable feeling, but Lord, what came into that upper room. Lord, that you would baptize this congregation in the power of your Holy Spirit. Because God, we have a tremendous amount of time. I am blown away when I see the gift and ability, the concentration of talent that you have placed inside of this church. But Father, we lack infusing all of that talent with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'm asking you to do that. That you would help us to be open and receptive vessels to what your Spirit has to do. Lord, over the coming week, I'm asking you to change our lives, to set this church on fire for you. And Lord, that as we begin this new phase, that you will lead us to strike as one single solitary fist. Lord, that this church will fight like the Hulk, that we would change the community you've planted us in. And Lord, when we've changed this one, that you would send us out to change more. Lord, that by and by this whole world be changed by the work that you started right here at First Assembly of God on Edwards Street in Rock Hill. Lord, we love you. We are so grateful for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.